real good buddy of mine's, Hector Lefebvre, introduced me to the Shotokan school in about 2009, I'd say, 2010.
Okay, okay. So with your history with the martial arts, have you ever tried to, like, do anything different, like kung fu or anything like that, or are you all considered the same?
Yeah, just mostly karate and, combat type of training, defensive tactics type training, a little bit of Tai Chi.
Okay. Okay, great. So let me ask you a question now. You say you've been in the martial arts. Did you started in 2009 until present, or did you start even younger and you got off of it for a little while and came back to it? Is that the way that happened?
Yeah, I started when I was younger, in high school, doing a little bit of taekwondo. And then through the years, I did it again with one of my daughters. She started training and going through the belts in taekwondo. She was studying and got all the way, I believe, to her brown belt till she got injured and wasn't able to continue. And then again, I started up again in 2009.
Okay, okay.
More serious.
What do you like most about the martial arts? Do you like the combat? Do you like the weapons? Or do you like the kata?
Well, I'm getting older, so I like learning the skills that keep me on my toes if I ever need to defend myself. But I like to do the katas. I like weapons, and I just like training, overall training.
Okay, well, very good. So now, in the martial arts, have you ever had an opportunity or have you ever came across a situation that you had to use anything you learned as far as in your Shotokan or in your defensive tactics or anything like that?
Well, I have used a little bit of the Shotokan when I was a correctional officer. And sometimes you're not, in different situations portray themselves in a certain way. And I think some of my karate training has helped. Where you become, it's like firing your weapon, where it's muscle memory. And so certain situations where I've had to defend myself, I know I've used some Shotokan and has helped me out a lot.
Oh, great, great. So, in today's society, do you believe that martial arts are important with today's, the way the kids are today, and, with so many other things they can be doing? Where do you see martial arts in society today?
Well, I think martial arts is plays a big factor with the young kids today, even more, because seems like the new generations have lost their respect for a lot of things. And I know martial arts, that's the first thing that we teach.
Hello, and welcome to The Way with Hunchy Henry Graves. Yes, the day after all this hurricane and everything like that been going on in Orlando, we're very blessed to be here on Culture Play Radio. To bring you this other episode of The Way. I have a couple guests that's going to be here with me today. We're going to be talking about martial arts and things like that in general. But I like to say to everybody, a prayer is going out to protect all of those who out there in harm's way in the Bahamas, Freeport area, and all the people that this hurricane is touching. And we ask God to watch over them, protect them, and also see them through the storm and let them know that God is always in charge of everything. Amen. Amen. So, welcome to The Way. I'm Hunchy Henry Graves. This is a show where we try to explore martial arts, different attitudes towards the martial arts, different dealings in the martial arts, and definitely different martial arts styles or whatever you want to call them, different formats and things like that. We developed this show to give a voice out there to the martial art world, to those people out there who are looking to bring a new and fresh ideas, perspective, talent, and all that to the show. We're located at 2345 East Michigan in Orlando. The hours are open. We're here Tuesday through Saturday from 6 to 8. On Saturdays, we're here at 10 a.m. first class. Second class is at 11 a.m. And, you know, we do different things here. We also have a women's self-defense class that we do every Wednesday. And that class is dedicated to helping the women out there feel more stronger about going out and more secure and more confident about being out in public and being aware of their surroundings. So, until my guests get here, I would like to talk to you guys about a couple of things that's been going on and I've been thinking about this week. One thing is about how do your martial arts play into your physical or spiritual being? Do you look at it as a total spiritual aspect of it, or do you look at it as just some spiritual, mostly physical, some mental? To me, all three things should be adopted and also adhered to. And moving through the martial arts, for all the years I've been doing it, nothing has prepared me for everything, but I'm willing to do whatever I can do when any situation comes arise through my martial art training. It's been a great experience for me to do these things, and just looking forward to another 55 years of martial art training. Yeah, I did say 55 years. It's been a long journey, and you know what? I didn't get here by myself. I had a lot of people help me, but I never forgot, you know, God is the first person, and then my sensei helped me through it all. I may have had a lot of other people that come and show me different things, but Sensei Jackson is my sensei and will always be my sensei, and that's who I call sensei, as in saying the person who guided me through and got me to this point. And again, I thank you for that. So for you guys out there, please remember sensei. Us, great. So let me talk about the martial arts and the aspect of fighting. Do you take up a martial art to learn how to fight? Do you take up the martial art to learn how to do kata? Yep, we're getting calls in right now as I speak. A lot of calls are coming in, but right now I want to devote my time to you guys. Kata is great. Weapons is great. But the thing that you have with you all the time is you. You have yourself with you all the time. And with that being said, all the time, you have to prepare yourself to be ready to engage in any situation at any time. So it's best to train with these other weapons. That's good. But remember, you are the ultimate weapon. Mental, physical, spiritual, you are the weapon to be adhered to and to be ready at any time. Yes, like I said, well, there you go. One of the guests is walking in now. We have Joseph. Joseph, come on in and just, say something to the guests out there. Joseph, would you like to say anything to the people on air?
Good afternoon, everyone.
These guys are a little shy. I don't know, man. They're not talking much. We also have Louis Vera, Dr. Vera here also in the house today. So we are here. We're talking about different things. Guys, I was just talking a little bit about martial arts training. And the one thing that we always have with us is ourselves. You know, a lot of times you train with weapons and things like that, which are great. But the one thing that you always have with you is yourself. And so you guys can expand on that and bring some more viewpoint on it. We're going to be talking about different things, but how do you feel about just how you feel about weapons? But my main thing is fighting and kata. So let's hear from these expert guys.
Okay. Well, regarding weapons, it's the extension of the limbs. You know, it's good to you know, expand on it. But I think first, you know, the basic training should be without arms, weaponless, and then, you know, as you advance later on with arms, and, you know, even with today's society, you want to be able to be proficient not only without firearms, but also with firearms, you know, kind of coming full circle.
Okay. So you think that, I personally I don't like firearms, although I've been dealing with firearms for a lot of years, a range master firearm instructor. I always think if we can resolve something, without the use of firearms is better, because once you pull that trigger, right, that bullet is final. And a lot of times people shoot and they don't think about the backdrop, what's behind that if you miss. That bullet just don't stop and say, this is where I'm supposed to go, I'm going to quit, but it keeps going farther. But the thing that I'm thinking about mostly is about in a fighting situation, when you have to have combat, training, we train for peace, definitely, but we're ready for war at any time, but we don't train for war. You know, we hope for peace always, but we're ready for it. So I guess the question would be, is empty hand training more, or is weapon training more beneficial, or is kata more beneficial? How do you guys feel about that?
I feel that empty hand training is more beneficial than weapons training, because when it comes down to it, the chances of you being able to pick up a weapon compared to being able to use your hands is a vast majority difference. So I'd rather be more proficient with my hands than with a weapon.
And who are you, Joseph?
I'm the senpai of Henry Graves Martial Arts Academy.
Okay, so you feel that empty hands training is more beneficial than weapon training?
Correct.
Okay. Dr. Vera, how you feel about that? Because I know you are the world's best in kata. We have the number one kata guy in the whole world.
Thank you, my friend.
He is, I'm telling you, have you ever seen him do kata? And the way he explained bunkai, which is the application of it. You guys, Dr. Vera, how you feel about that?
I think I would agree with Joseph. You don't always have access to, weaponry, But on the other side, too, weapons can be anything from a chair to keys to anything. You know, if you see some of these fighters that aren't trained, they use whatever's around them. And as martial artists, we have to be prepared for that. And, many times we aren't, But, no, I think the very basics is empty, and without arms. And I think it is more a benefit without it. Because also mentally, if you drop a weapon, there's a mental psyche that you're unarmed.
Don't know what to do. Sometimes, I lost my weapon. Now what I do? Run.
Exactly. Yes. And the majority of the time, your weapon ends up getting used against you.
Yes, that's true, too.
That was very interesting. A lot of times when you pull out a weapon, if the person is more proficient than you and he don't have a weapon, it can be turned on you and
that's
be used
correct.
Against you. So the importance of training in empty hands is very important for you, those ideas. And, we welcome for guys to call in, girls to call in and give us an opinion about it. I'm sure I have these two fine martial artists back at any time. But also, I wanted to talk to Dr. Vera about his training in kata, because every time I see him do kata, I be thinking it's like a Superman walked in to do this thing and nobody else can do it as well as
thank
he can.
You,
but
you,
I try to do kata that great, but I'm average kata guy, So how do you prepare yourself to do kata?
I think, something that I've reiterated for many years is perfect practice makes perfect. Not practice makes perfect. A lot of the training in Europe and, the other countries are focused on more of a brain training, That's kind of the direction of sports. With that, certain kind of drills, basically eliciting like certain muscle fibers and things like that is like what is kind of the cutting edge of what's going on now. So I think that there is a physical, there's always been a physical component, but I think it's smarter training now, Nutrition's kind of old, nutrition's kind of given, that's something that, was a kind of a trend before, but now that's given, and now you want to kind of push the limit a little bit more. What I work on and what I've noticed many of the top athletes seek out is spirit training. So body, mind, and spirit. So body, physical, mind, intelligence, spirit, everything all together, which is probably, I think, the most difficult to achieve. Mm-hmm. So there's a focus on that, especially as you get older, because your body deteriorates.
Mm-hmm.
So you kind of have to make up with it through spirit. And that's what some of the best martial artists do. Their body physically deteriorates and their spirit makes up for that, okay. As well as mind.
Okay. All right. Joe, how you feel about that?
I would agree with that, because that's the one thing, especially in kata, that most people lack is spirit. They they have a tendency to want to train through the kata over and over and over instead of breaking it down and learning, you know, kyons and everything that make up the kata, and then learning how to embody the spirit of the kata. Most people lack that when it comes to any kata.
And, you know, guys, it's been my experience. And like I say, you know, it's 55, 56 years or whatever I've been doing it. But it used to be the terminologies have changed, too. You know, not so much in karate diction, but in far as vocabulary. When you're trying to explain things to a martial artist, you know, my sensei used to say, you punch harder. Now they may use a different word to just to say the word harder. They may, they, you know, use something like punch more. I can't even think of another word at this point because I'm so used to seeing punching harder. They might say punch more with more. What's a good word to say?
Intensity.
Intensity. Yeah. Or something like that. And then they go, intensity, yeah, you know. But in my day, it was just punch harder, block stronger, you know, really simple words. But maybe, as Dr. Vera was saying, the intelligence of the athlete now was a little bit different. I don't know about the spirit of the athlete is maybe any better or anything like that. But if we do train ourselves with mind, body, and spirit, then we can, uniquely combine these three things to become a whole. Instead of three different parts, it's one entity. And that way you can go through that kata, you can go through that application, go through that fight, work with that weapon, become a better practitioner of it. Do you see any perfect kata? Either one of you? What do you think about that?
I have.
Yeah?
Yeah, very, very rare. Very rare.
Yeah, it's...
But when you know, you see it, and I have, okay. You know, where the three are embodied and very well done. You know, in my experience, it's very rare. It's also different in person than video.
Yes.
Oh, that's without a doubt.
Yeah. So.
Seeing somebody in person that is able to do all three, it blows you back. It's like breathtaking watching somebody in person that is able to do all of those three compared to watching them on video, because video is slower than man is. So it just doesn't allow you to really grasp how good that person really is.
I mean, recently at the U.S. Open, Sandra Sanchez, on video as opposed to seeing her in person, she's the number one ranked female contender in the world. Was very different live than video. She was amazing. It was very different. But there are some individuals that are so, so good and so strong, and it's extremely rare where they can transfer their spirit, not only live, but onto video.
Hmm.
So when you see it, in my opinion, if you see it on video and you can feel it, it's much more intense in person. And there are very few people that can do that. Okay. But there are some where they can capture it on video. Okay. You know, Milan is one of them from France.
Yep, Milan.
You know, he's one of those that, you know, he was able to transfer that energy and keep it on there. But there are many talented individuals that when you see them live, they're completely different.
Okay. Well, you know, when I think about looking at video or something like that, I go back to movies. Like, I could see when I've watched a Bruce Lee movie, I think it was The Chinese Connection and Return of the Dragon. When I watched it, I kind of like felt that, wow, you know, this guy is good. And I want to be like that. You know, I remember watching him as a kid, as Kato, who didn't know that was Bruce Lee, just know it was Kato, and seeing, oh, wow, you know, I want to emulate, I want to be like that. So I try to do different things. So is that part of, like, the video you're talking about as far as movies or just watching them do a kata that was a traditional kata, doing it, transferring it like that through a video, and you feel the same juice?
I think it's similar, like, you know, the aura or spirit of certain actors on TV, you know, and the same thing with martial artists. But the sport and the art has evolved over the years, I think, tremendously. I think it's actually improved. About 15, 20 years ago, I saw a decline in the arts in terms of quality. And then it changed, and I'm not sure if that changes because of the internet with YouTube,
okay.
You know, because now there's a connection where instead of hearing about somebody, you can actually see.
Yes.
And the video doesn't lie, you know, yeah. It's very rare where the video lies, you know, so when you see it, you can tell who's the top, who are the top athletes out there, how they really look, and from seeing them, it's a, from a performance level. Once you see a certain point, you know that it's achievable, then you can reach that point easier. So, you know, as opposed to just, you know, building, not seeing and, you know, trying to progress and be a better athlete or karateka. You know?
Okay. I remember Sensei told me that in order for me to get better, I had to go out and find my biggest opponent, a rival. Mm-hmm. Because that person would definitely make me step up to another level. Because if in order to get past that, like with sparring, if the people were better to be in the dojo sparring, they were quicker, faster. In order for me to get to be that fast or better, I had to continuously put myself with those type of people and train with those type of people, and that way I would get better. But what was strange about it was only three of us he taught. Yeah. And at that point, those other two guys were good as me or better than me, but then I became better than them. But those are only people I had to judge by. So when I went out and did something with different martial artists, as well-known martial artists, I don't want to mention their name, and I whooped their behind, they wanted to know, well, how did you do that?
Mm, yes.
Well, it was, to me, it was easier with them than it was in practice because of the type of practice that Sensei put on us.
Yeah.
I mean, he put practice on us that was hard. And when we got to get in front of someone else, it was like, is that all you got? Is that all? Is that it? I mean, what else is there? So, I mean, what is this guy doing? So, I remember they used to always put me on a scale, because I always seemed like I was bigger. I get on the scale at 140. They thought I weighed 160, 175. I say, no, this is what it is. Mm-hmm. Can I explain it? Well, what kind of training you do? Kick and punch. Mm-hmm. I like to kick and punch. I mean, you know, it's like a basketball player. If he's going to become a shooting the basketball, we got to go out there and do what? You got to go out there and shoot it. If you're going to get better at kata, you got to go out there and perform it. So I think things are kind of like simple, but we make it complicated. I don't know how you feel about that.
I would agree with that. You know, people have a tendency to complicate everything, whether it's martial arts, whether it's, like you said, basketball. You know, because dribbling the ball is dribbling the ball.
Mm-hmm.
You know, granted, mm-hmm. some people have the ability to do things that are unheard of with the ball, but it's still dribbling the ball. So people do have a tendency to complicate things more.
Mm-hmm. Have you guys ever come to a point in your training where you felt stagnant, and what did you do to try to get past that? I mean, like you hit a wall. You know, sometimes when you hit those walls, or it takes a year to get out of it, a week to get out of it, it's individualized, or what did you kind of do? Was it more mentally getting past it, or was it more physical getting past it? That's the question, I guess.
I would say a lot of times when it comes to hitting a wall with your training, it's a lot to do with the mental aspect of it, getting past it mentally. Not necessarily physically, but mentally.
Okay.
When I was 16, I do remember a really bad time like that. It was a period of heavy, heavy training and no progression. Just stagnant, you know, and that's, I don't know if there's anything much more frustrating than putting the time, the effort, the training, and not seeing any improvement, you know, just being stagnant. It was long. I think it was about 2 years, 1 to 2 years. And
wow.
I spoke with one of my very close friends, Sensei Walter Jeter, and he's older, and he was a mentor of mine there, and he helped me through it, and he said, you just have to keep going. So the mental, you know, the mental discipline of not stopping, because I think that's what happens many times now, especially with the new millennials, is that, you know, there's no improvement, it's a period of quick reward, you know, quick access, and if it's not there, then there's no effort. And the discipline of the martial arts shows you that you have to do that and stay with it, because what happens to a lot of individuals when they reach that point is they quit.
Yes.
And that's it. And they don't return to training. And this is, you know, this is a lifelong type of endeavor. This isn't just, I'm going to get my black belt and that's it. You know, you're, oh, wow, you have your black belt, you know, and you haven't trained since then. That's not what this is about.
No.
You know, this is long, long term.
Even though that's what you see a lot.
It happens very often.
People get their black belt,
yeah.
They think they know everything under the sun, then they stop training.
Yeah, yes, it happens very often, you know, very, very often. So I was able to get through it, and I learned from that, you know, you have to keep going as hard as it is, as difficult it is, as frustrating it is. I think everybody reaches some sort of stagnant point, you know.
And life, too, and just in general.
Yes.
So we call that perseverance.
Yes.
You know? How do you guys see, you know, you're talking about the millennium. The thing about that I see, guys, and I talk about this almost in every show, but I see a lot of change in how they treat sensei than how they used to treat sensei.
I see a lot of freedom on the internet and they very different in person.
Yes.
I'm just coming out and saying.
Yeah.
You know? There's a lot of internet superstars.
Yeah. There's a lot of a discussion when nobody's in front of you.
Yeah.
You
know?
Yeah. And then when it comes time, you know, face to face, and that has a lot, I think, a lot to do with the sensei. It's a lack of respect.
Yes.
You know? With that. So the internet is great. You know, there's access. But one thing I love about the martial arts is it gets real when somebody's in front of you.
Yeah.
In all aspects.
In all aspects.
So yeah. I think with sensei's, you know, the relationship for some maybe has changed. But I think for the really good ones, there's old tradition in that sense. There's that old, you know, honor, that old Budo. The sad thing is, if you look at many martial artists that are still active and doing this for a long time, many of them had a falling out with their instructors, their main instructors.
Mm-hmm.
And that's sad. You know,
that is very sad.
Yeah. Sometimes, you know, it happens for many reasons, but really you want to, you know, preserve that relationship.
As much as you can.
Yes.
Because the bottom line to it is that you don't get to anywhere by yourself. You had to start with somebody and who guided you and led you to that. Mm-hmm. Even though how good you got, I tell people I have a lot of different instructors, mm-hmm. but I have one sensei, mm-hmm. the one who brought me there, mm-hmm. who worked with me, and that's the one I call sensei, and that's the one I basically try to take care of till he passed away.
Yes.
I don't see that happening in this society anymore with the young guys and mm-hmm. stuff like that. They jump from one person to the next one depending on how what the flavor is that month or that week, you know, or that week, you know. And it's a shame because the dojos suffer. Like, you know, as many times, dog, if you came by the dojo and trained with us and helped us to get to a certain level, you know, and the students come in and they see that and they go, wow, they in the dojo training. You don't take nothing from any dojo, and your kind of character and the way you are, you always add to the dojo, but you also leave something there for the students mm-hmm. to remember by.
Yes.
You tell them what's important and things like that. But a lot of times people come in and they'll try to say, well, you come with me, I'll set you free, you know, and stuff like that.
Wow.
And that's and that part
is
what's bad.
Yes.
That's
yes.
what's bad. What you gonna say, Jeff?
No, I just agree with that. You know, a lot of people have a tendency to do that nowadays. Is instead of, like they were saying, you know, go with the one that you came with.
The one who brought you to the dance.
Exactly. You know, they think that the next man or a next sensei is going to be their golden ticket.
Golden ticket. Wow. That brings back something. One time I went to a tournament, guys, and I was fighting a guy. His name is Kevin Pagnotto, one of the best fighters in one of George Dillman tournaments up in PA. Mm-hmm. And I'm there, and you know, I'm here, boom, 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 going with this guy. And I'm thinking to myself, man, this guy's good. Sensei looked over to me, say, "Do as you've been trained." And the fight ended up being a great fight. I ended up winning the fight. But what Kevin Pagnotto taught me was that, when you know, when I got hit by him, I wanted to give up because he hit so hard, and I wanted to give up. And then, you know, he almost just like, come on, you know, like, come on, man, let's do this. Mm-hmm. And it kind of made me, you know, respect the whole thing with him. And you know, we don't have fighters like that no more. Mm-hmm. You know, James Cook, another one. I mean, I can go on and on with some of the people, but you know, I always wanted to do kata, but I never was that good at kata. You know, I mean, and now later, I like kata. You know, hey, I'm 62. I don't want to get hit. I'd rather go out there and do a kata, you know? And so I have a great respect for kata
I wish I could have got into it earlier because I think I'd have did okay in it. And, you know, and I realized something about kata, though. Kata is karate.
Yes.
It really is, because when you're going through this thing and you got this person in front of you that's not in front of you, and you go through the technique and everything, you're actually putting all that spirit, all that technique, all that flow into that application of that kata. And when it comes out real good, it is real good. Mm-hmm. You know, and like you said, you can see it. You know, you can actually feel that this person is fighting someone else.
Yep.
Even though that other person ain't there, it is there. He is there. It is a warrior thing, you know. What weapon do you like, Doc, if you ever use weapons? Which one do you prefer?
I like the oar. Daiko. Bokai.
You like the oar?
Yeah, I like the oar. Okay. I think it's very old. I like the style of it. I like, you know, it overall is a weapon. You know, I like the feel and how it is.
Okay.
So I would say the oar.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And Okinawa, the oar is a little bit, it's a bow also, but it's shorter than the Japanese one. And that was what I thought was interesting, mm-hmm. that it was shorter. And it's like, wow, but the way they use it, to put the sand in their eye and things like that, the technique that they use it for was pretty ingenious, you know, and even the way it was shaped and things like that. Joseph, what's your favorite weapon?
It would either be the oar or a regular bow style.
Yeah? Wow, I got two guys that like wood weapons. I like the sword. So I can cut the oar down, so I can cut the bow down, and I'll try to get on through to what I've got to do. And the reason why I think I like Iaido a lot is because it's more of a discipline that I don't have to cut you but once to make it effective. But also I'm learning that with that, guys, it takes a lifetime just to learn how to draw it properly. Even when you think you got it good or you're pretty good, there's a whole lot more you can do with that. I'm sure that was any weapon that you get, though.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Because I've seen people work with the bow that have defeated people working with a sword because of the technique they use. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And you think, oh, just because it's a metal weapon, that's a wooden weapon, the wooden weapon going to lose. No, not necessarily. It's all about application. That's the other thing we talk about, mindset. The strongest of all these things, guys, would you put it as practice, the spiritual, or the mental? Which one do you think is the strong? If you had to pick one thing out to say the most strongest aspect of all three things, just picking out one. I know it's hard because all of them is important. Mm-hmm. Which one would you?
I would say spirit by
That's
far.
That's what I'm thinking too.
Spirit by far, yes. Because the spirit is accumulation of everything together. It's mm-hmm. kind of like bringing the mental and physical. Like, when I think of mental, I think the difference between spiritual and mental. Mental is more intelligence. You know, mental is like strategy. Spirit is different. Spirit is, you know, your overall well-being, you know, accompanying everything together. Mm-hmm. So you can see, I think the best way to see a lack of spirit is when you see it. When you see it, you know it's there. And when you see lack of spirit, it's robotic. You know, and that's what happens to young athletes is, especially in kata, they're very technically proficient, but they're robotic, and that's immaturity and lack of spirit. That's basically a reflection of that.
Okay. Well, Joe?
Well, I'm going to take the words of Mr. Funakoshi, spirit first, technique second.
Yes. Well,
you know, and I will easily put it like this. When I participated in my first ever martial arts tournament, which luckily I was able to win, and afterwards asked one of the judges why was I able to win over some of the people that were higher ranked than me, and it came down to one word: spirit. They told me that I showed more spirit, I had a better presence of being on that tatami at the time, and in their eyes it looked like I was actually fighting someone.
Okay.
So that's why I always think spirit is the thing that most people need to embody, because a lot of people lack it.
Okay. Well, you know, when I think about spirit, guys, like I said, I'm an old man. I go back to these Rocky days. And when Rocky, you know, Sylvester Stallone, when he was out there training, I remember one show where he was out there and he said, He said, Rocky, you need to be in the gym training. You need to get ready for it. He said, you know what? All these years I've been training. If I ain't ready for it now, I ain't going to be ready.
Yeah,
you know, so his spirit was that different than the Russian guy's spirit. Mm-hmm. And you know, even though this guy might have been training stronger, faster, and all of that, but like you said, Doc, and like you said, Joe, that thing that's inside that you can't really touch, and but it's there, teach. And you can't teach it, that's what got him past. To get into, I know it's a fictional thing, but still, the message it gave was very real to me, you know. And practicing the martial arts today, I want to say about style, because I got a Goju guy here, and Goju's are known for fighters. And here's a kata guy, but Goju, you know, you get Goju guys and Shotokan guys there, you're going to say, which one are better? They say, Goju guy. He can fight a lot better than Shotokan guy. Shotokan guy might do some really good katas, but you know, but he ain't going to be in a fight like that Goju guy, you know? And then you hear some people say about Kung Fu. And the mystery to me about Kung Fu is, it's not really a specific hard or soft or thing. You know, if you really get into depth of Kung Fu is like, I don't know if you could call it jiu-jitsu, aikido, judo, taekwondo, or, you know, round and soft. It's a little bit different. Kung Fu is a little bit different. I practice it. And what I found out when I first was doing my karate, and I went against a karate guy, and he was a Kung Fu. And when I went for a Kung Fu guy and I was doing karate, he beat the brakes off of me. But I don't understand why and how, because I thought I was that much better. And so how do you guys feel about Kung Fu and karate?
Regarding Kung Fu, I think it's very interesting because just from experience, I've noticed that individuals are either, it's different than the styles in karate. In Kung Fu, it appears you're either really, really good or you're really, really bad. it's like no in between. The vast majority are bad that I've seen, but the few that I've seen that are very good are absolutely incredible and amazing. And, you know, I'm not familiar with their training, you know, I'm not familiar with their spiritual training, their physical training, but I do know that it's tremendous, you know, and the ones that excel do really well. What do you think, Joe?
I'm not too familiar with the Kung Fu aspect of the martial arts. I haven't really studied up on it or anything, so I really can't lend any words along the, you know, as far as when it comes to Kung Fu.
Well, like I said, you know, if you ask a karate guy what's more efficient, he's going to probably tell you karate. You ask a Kung Fu guy, he's probably going to tell you Kung Fu. And I've done both, and I've always liked Kung Fu, but I love karate. I could just put it to that aspect. And so in martial arts also, do you think the martial arts are leading towards no style, or formless styles, or are they going to pretty much stay with traditional styles? You know, is it going to always be an Ishinru, a Goju-ryu, a Shotokan, is it always going to be that? Is it always going to be that? Or is it going to be involved into something different? Like, look at what we got now. We got MMA.
I think MMA is the current and the future.
The current and the future? Yeah.
I would agree with that. Because a lot of people now, especially the younger generation, they look at your, you know, the UFCs and your Bellators and everything, and that's who they want to be like. Way more than when they watch, you know, a Premier One League or something like that. Yes. When they're just doing kata, they want to be able to get and do the ground and pound, do the submissions, and still be able to stand up and fight on their feet as well. So it seems like more things are leaning towards MMA.
But you know, one thing I would like to mention regarding MMA, and it's a critique, and I may be, you know, some people may not like it, but I think it's important, is I've very rarely been in a fight where it's me and one other person. If you're in MMA, good luck. Mm-hmm. You grapple somebody, you're going to have eight other people stomping on you while you're on the ground with that one person.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one big disadvantage of MMA. you know, my opinion is that it's one-on-one. They're not used to, like, the art of, you know, multiple attackers and different things like that. And, you know, my experience, you know, the encounters that I've had, it was, you know, it starts out one and another, and then a bunch of people start getting in together, and everything goes crazy. And I don't see how an MMA fighter could handle that. I mean, what are your opinions on that?
Well, I worked at a corrections facility for a long time, and I got very well known there for my expertise, if you want to say it, which I didn't call it an expertise. I just said that I was kind of fortunate in my fighting, and I never got one person attack me. It was always more than one.
Yes.
And even out on the streets coming up, thanks to sensei training, I was able to always keep my head on a swivel. Because, you know, more than likely, I'm fighting this guy, but he got a friend or a cousin or yeah, somebody
exactly,
else.
Exactly.
I do like MMA, but the reason I don't try to get into MMA is because I think it's kind of one faceted. It's not multifaceted. You know, it's not, it don't have a lot of different things to it. If I got a guy in front of me and I know it's just me and you fighting, like boxing. I love boxing, you know, and stuff like that. But if I'm going to go for pure learning how to defend myself, I'm going to go with a martial arts. I'm going to go with a sensei who's going to train me how to be ready to move in different directions. Also, how to think my way through things that maybe I might not have to do that. But if I have to do it, be proficient enough in knowing that I could take this person out. So, you know, that's a very good point. MMA, is it growing? Yeah. But I'm telling you, I really see a change coming in the martial arts, that traditional or martial arts schools are going to come up a little bit more because of what I think the senseis are now teaching some of the students.
Yes.
We have some students that's coming in that's learning some of the old ways. They're not just learning how to do, you know, some schools don't teach weapon. They don't teach weapon. They teach you kata, and they teach you sparring. But now you got schools that teach you weapons. They teach you kabuto. They teach you fighting. They teach you ninjutsu. They teach you takedown. They teach you aikido. And a martial art, I think, supposed to embellish all of that. That's what a karate school do. And when I went to teach karate, my sensei just told me one thing. Your job is to do your job. Your job is not to get hurt and to walk away and come home. It's not to start a fight. I remember beating a guy at a tournament and was so happy that I defeated this guy. And sensei looked over at me and said, what good did it do for you to defeat someone that was less skilled than you? I never understood that until later. That didn't matter, because a person is less skilled than you, what joy did you get out of that?
Yes.
You know what I mean? You never should have got any joy out of it. So that's what I'm saying. That kind of training from the senseis, what we give our students is a lot better. It's like almost like a parent and a child teaching them right from wrong, and how to, you know, what's important in life. You know, this is your life skills. Do your homework, do this and that, do, you know, behaviors and things like that. So a martial arts school can do that to you. If I go into a MMA kind of setting, I got a coach there who's coaching me through it, right? And he's saying, the other guy over there, you just beat the crap out of him. You use some technique and this and that. So, you know, I kind of see what you're saying. What do you have to say, Joe?
No, my question was, how you mentioned all these schools teaching you this, that, and the other with under one roof. How do you feel about the schools that now teach no-touch sparring?
Oh, I have to answer that question. okay, guys, listen. Okay, well, listen. What happened was, if you out there and you're going to a dojo and it's saying it's no touch sparring, first I got to find out how we do that. Okay. And I guess if there's a certain rule to it, and I can kind of, the answer to your question is I don't feel nothing for that. That really, I mean,
I do. I feel that this is a combat sport, and if you don't want to touch, go do ballet. Go do another sport.
Take up gym. Take up track and field.
Don't mess with this. Yeah. Don't change this. Don't say it because it's healthy and for other kids, because that's not what this is about.
No.
Not in my opinion.
No.
You know.
Mine either.
I understand, you know, word of safety, but it's also used as a bumper. And I don't agree with that.
Yeah.
You know, this is a combat sport. I don't think these kids should be wearing the gear that they wear, where they look like a Christmas story, where they're wrapped up like, you know, in a bunch of things. If you don't agree with it, then don't do it.
That's it.
Then leave. That's it.
Don't like they say. I always tell somebody, look, kids, you're gonna fight in the school. Mm-hmm. And if mom, I understand that, but if you really don't want him learning how to defend himself, mm-hmm. please take him to the track. Mm-hmm. You know, time him. You know, make sure you know. Hey, is your 40-yard dash getting better? Is your 100-yard dash getting better? Yeah.
Because
if the person catch you,
they don't
you're in trouble.
Yes.
So if they don't catch you, you okay. So I mean, why learn how to defend yourself when you have no intentions on defending yourself?
I agree with that time 100%.
Come on. We're going to get a lot of calls on this guy, so prepare for people to be asking, what about my son and my daughter?
My honest opinion when it comes to this no touch sparring is it should be done away with. Because when I was younger, learning under my father, the only things that I was taught was if you get hit, you better learn how to hit that person back.
Well, block better.
Oh, block better, exactly.
It ain't your fault.
Because when you walk into any fight, you want to go home. Mm-hmm. You don't want to be the person laid out on the street. You want to go home. You know, that's one of the reasons why I don't spar nowadays. That's one of the reasons.
Joe, we know all you want to do is knock people out. I mean, tell it like it is.
Is the other reason.
That's the other reason.
Because I was taught I don't hit you for points. I hit you to survive and to go home.
Mm-hmm. Well, so, even with that, though, when you're in the dojo sparring and learning and helping other people, you're not there to, you don't knock every student out that get in front of you. I mean, well, I don't, and I hope you won't, and things like that. I got a question for Dr. Vera, because this is something that I had the pleasure of dealing with, but then it didn't last that long. I was teaching my daughter, and all of a sudden, you know, she got to be girly, and she didn't want to do karate anymore. Broke my heart. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm talking about it broke my heart, you know. And I remember getting calls from the school saying, Mr. Graves, your daughter just beat up the boy. I mean, you gotta have her stop doing karate. And I'm saying to myself, yes, ma'am, I will talk to her. Yeah. I will talk to Nikhila when she get home. Then when she get home, I go, what happened? He pulled my hair, and then he called me names, and then he hit me. Okay.
That's all we need to know, right there.
Okay, so if he'd have kept his hands to himself, he would have got. But then all of a sudden, she changed. Now, been watching your daughter compete. I mean, she's very good.
Oh, thank you.
Oh my goodness, yes. So what? I mean, how did that plays into your thing? Watching her and hoping for her, and
it's amazing. My daughter Gianna Vera Paez, she actually had her first lesson with you.
Yes, I remember years ago.
She was 3 years old. And, she was very young. She was 3 years old, and she enjoyed the class. And after that, she didn't want to do karate.
Right.
So I was not the parent to force her at all. So mm-hmm. I said, as long as you're active, I'm okay with it, you mm-hmm. know. So she did gymnastics. She did some other things. And then later on, she decided she wanted to train. Yeah. So we decided that she wanted a training traditional through me mm-hmm. and then an open through a dojo. Mm-hmm. So she's done that. I had concerns that she was doing it because of me, you know, from seeing me and so forth. Mm-hmm. But that's not the case. She really loves it. She really enjoys it. I think one thing that what's really good with the millennials is certain things and code that we have. So I had to have a talk with both her and her mother.
Okay.
Because there was a problem of me being a father, you know, and her teacher. So the problem is, well, you're her father, you know, you should be treating her as, you know, a father when you're in the dojo. And this is the problem. This is dojo-kun. You know, this is something, you know, my opinion, it's important. It needs to be stressed. The dojo is not a democracy for everybody out there. It's a dictatorship.
Yeah.
The sensei is a dictator. If you don't like it, get out. It's that simple. There's no negotiations. I don't question my sensei. Mm-hmm. I'm 44 years old. I've been under my sensei for 35 years. I don't question what he tells me to do. That's how it is. And if you don't like it, there's a door.
Yeah.
So I basically told my daughter and her mother that if you want to train under me, this is not a negotiation. This is dictatorial. And decide. Mm-hmm. Now. And they decided, you know, to go with it.
Mm-hmm.
Believe me, They didn't like it, especially the mother. But that's how it is, you know? So with that being said, I said, we're not moving forward until we establish this relationship right here.
Yes.
So that was hard, but, you know, in my experience from competing, from training, from being a teacher, the greatest experience is that of watching my daughter grow up and train and compete. It's amazing. Yeah. It's really amazing. Even a simple, you know, tournament, whether she did well or didn't, it's better experience than me being at the world championships or U.S. nationals and seeing her and how she enjoys it. And also the fact that it's amazing what, you know, when you train in this, you're investing in yourself. You don't realize you're investing in your family and your future. And to pass that information down, it's very, 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 very special.
Mm-hmm.
Very special. Wow. Also, in my humble opinion, these children that grow up around this are much different than children that don't grow up around this, because she grew up in the environment. She's literally imbibed like a sponge information when she wasn't training because of her exposure to other martial artists and to seeing the training.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't realize that exposure was tremendous.
Mm-hmm.
And I have seen that the martial artists that come from family of martial artists of generations, they're different. They're very different. I'll just say it. I think they're better.
Yes.
I think they're better.
The whole mannerism.
Yeah, they're just better.
Yeah.
Overall, it's better. It's like starting younger is better, et cetera. Mm-hmm. Before pre-puberty, pre-pubescent is like one of the key factors. It's just better. So seeing her is incredible, and I'm very, very proud of her. I would just want her happy. If she wants to train, I support her. As long as she's physical and activity, that's fine. But when she does, you know, get injured or something, I explained to her, I said, listen, it's not ballet. It's not, you know, gymnastics. This is taekwondo, karate. This is combat sports.
It's a combat sport. Yeah.
So get used to it. And it's changed her character in a good way.
Oh, good, good. Because I always tell them, there ain't no ow in karate. Mm-hmm. I get up something and go, ow, ew, that hurt. Yeah. Well, hey, you know what? Yeah, there you go. It's been plenty of days when and you know, the other thing is, guys, you know, I see people with shin guards and elbow pads and, you know, and I never had none of that. So, you know, when I had to start getting it for my students, I was like, I mean, is this a waste of time? Because when they go out there in the street and somebody hit them, are they going to go, ow, you know?
Yeah.
But, you know, a lot of them, they get kind of used to it, and they kind of get used to the idea of that this is different training in the dojo than it would be out on the street.
Yes, yes.
Now, I got to tell you this. I got my two beautiful little granddaughters in here.
Yes.
And now let me tell you about this.
Yes.
Is Grandpa Henry. Right, I say no. It's sensei,
yes.
And so we had to have that talk,
that conversation,
and of course, Grandma, my wife, is like, "Why are you so mean to them? You know, you that granddad." I like, like you said, I said, "Look, either they're gonna do this, or they don't even need to be coming."
Yes,
because I can't be on the dojo floor, you know, rubbing their hands and giving them lollipops when the other students are training hard to get to a place that I want them to get to and know they need to get to, and holding my own back.
Yes. Yes.
And so that was a good talk, and of course it went over like a lead balloon for the first couple hours, but then, like, you know, after a while they got kind of used to it. Now they come to dojo, they know it's about serious business. As a matter of fact, they're becoming like some of the leaders in there at 6 years old. They want to stand there and get up there and do the karate, and they look around, somebody acting up like, you know, they're giving them the stink eye. You know what I mean? Like, you know. So I'm like, yeah, there you go. You know? So it is a different thing. Like you said, I agree with you. And having any of your siblings or children do the martial arts, I think for their future is going to be a great thing.
Oh, yes, the handing down. I mean, I have friends now that, you know, they're third, fourth generation, you know, and it's incredible. And I remember seeing it. You know, I thought, wow, I thought it was special. And then when I experienced it for myself, I was like, wow, this is really unique. This is very different, because this is something that, you know, when I pass away, that she'll have memories and experience and the passing down of knowledge. One thing, I don't consider myself old, but as you mature, you know, there's a responsibility of the knowledge and information that that you guys have, you know, and passing it down. And I think that that's part of it. That's very important, you know, the passing of knowledge, you know, and experience, for sure.
Yeah, because what good is it learning a good technique or good whatever it is, and you die with it?
Yes.
What happened with that? Nobody get to learn it. No, it don't get to be expanded on, you know, and even changed and make even better. Because I remember I told someone when they were talking about martial arts, this and that other. I said, well, you know, martial arts have changed a lot. It's a good thing they're changing. Because at one time we had ships that didn't carry airplanes. Mm-hmm. You know, now we got ships, airplanes come on, fly off of, and this and that, and they shoot bombs and this and that. I say, so one time we had round ball bearers when we shot at a gun. Now we got bullets that selector, or however you say the word, shaped like a missile that can mm-hmm. more accurate. Mm-hmm. So martial arts got to change, too, so that the involvement of the martial art, when it evolved to be something a little bit better with the same characteristics of tradition, but it can change to be a little bit different. You know what I mean? It don't have to stay. We don't have to keep putting powder in it and then shoving the ball bearing in there. We can, you know, switch. It still keep the same tradition of being strong-minded and spirited, like you guys we've been talking about, but able to be more accurate in the martial arts. You know what I'm saying? So, I don't know. Dr. Vera, every time me and you talk, it seemed to be we get out there and a great conversation. I learned something from you, and I'm proud to call you my friend and my brother,
likewise,
too.
Likewise.
Same thing with
thank
Joseph
you.
Here.
Thank
and
you. Thank
you guys
thank
are very you. Good, very good men in the martial arts. If you had a thought, I'm going to leave it for both of you guys to end it with the show. If you had something that you wanted to tell the martial artists today, and either one of you guys can go first, what would be the thing that you would like to tell the young generation of millennial martial artists or just a younger generation of martial artists coming up?
Don't ever give up. You know, it may sound like a cliche, but a black belt is nothing but a white belt that never gave up. So that's how I feel. Just never give up. No matter how hard it gets, just keep on pushing through.
I would say two things. You want to make yourself better, and you want to make other people better. You know, mm-hmm. I think that's the true, you know, essence of the martial arts is improvement. You know, improvement of character, improvement of people. Starting with yourself, and then passing that on to others, and bringing other people up, not pushing them down. You know, bringing them up and rising, and you know, sharing that knowledge and experience. And I think that's a very, very good way to, you know, do it as a young martial artist and also as an old martial artist.
Okay, I agree with that. And the thing that I would like to leave the martial artists of the future, the next generation, is that boys, girls, young men, young women, men and women, remember who you are, know who you are, and then know who you are. I go back to Simba on The Lion King. When he was out there eating grubs, when he was really a lion, when he should have been eating meat. Mm-hmm. He's a lion, but I guess, what's her name, Kyla or Nyla? She came and told him, say, hey, you Simba. You know, what are you doing out here eating earthworms and grubs, you know? So, you know, and with that being said, if you're going to hang out with lions, you can become a lion. If you're going to be a turkey, you can hang out with turkeys. If you want to be an eagle, hang out with eagles. If you want to be a buzzard, hang out with buzzards. I mean, you know. If you want to be a martial artist, you got to really surround yourself with martial artists and not just the ones who want to be surface-wise. You know, they don't want to get deep into it. You need to find someone who's going to tell you the truth about the martial arts and have you go to the martial arts and learn that mind, body, and spirit. We all three agree on one thing, and more importantly, the spirit is probably the most important thing that you can get out of the martial arts. So leave with good spirit. And this has been The Way. Our guest on the show today has been Dr. Luis Vera. Thank you so much, Doc.
Thank you for having me.
All right. And Joseph, thank you so much for being here. And Joseph is one guy who, he's a bowler. You know, we're talking about how that, but he's a professional bowler.
Very good bowler.
Very good bowler. And, you know, he's so humble. I mean, Joe is one of them guys, if he's your friend, he's your friend. And I would say that, you know, we all should try to be like that. I mean, he's a very, very good friend. He's a positive person and is a good person to be around. So, again, you can come down here at any time, meet us here, train with us at 2345 East Michigan at Henry Graves Martial Art Academy. And, again, thank you for being on The Way. God bless you.
And hey, take care of yourself out there. Us.
Along with the defending yourself in a bad situation, but I really think today's kids need that respect for themselves, their family, their friends, and start respecting each other versus some of the things they're doing right now.
You know, it's kind of interesting. I have people come, parents bring their children in to teach the martial arts to them, but the whole aspect of them, they bring them in because they need discipline. And, you know, I never